Yes, Speaker, it was Mary M. from Scottsdale, Arizona. Mary?
Thank you. I'm Mary Murphy, alcoholic.
Hi, Mary.
First of all, I want to thank you for asking me up here to what is truly God's country. I have never been up here, and I am just awed by the beauty of it all. I also would like to thank my wonderful hosts, Jay and Betty, who have been absolutely marvelous to me. And as luck or God would have it, where I'm parked next to two wonderful people, I think you all know them, Madeline and Grant, who have been not only fun to be with, but have been very helpful to me as I'm a new motorhome owner and don't know a thing about it. Anyway, since you don't know me, I would like to tell you my story, but I would like to tell you, just to show how much I qualify, driving up here in a brand new motorhome that I've never had on the road before, driving 70 miles an hour, I decided to take a picture of some of the beauty, and I put the camera to my eye and closed the other one and damn near went off the road. I could stop right there with my story. I'd qualify, but I'll tell you a bit about my background, as that's what it's all about, where we've been and where we are now. I began drinking at a very early age, about 14, was already out of control at age 15, and my family was aware of it. However, at that time, Alcoholics Anonymous did not deal with children, which I was. So they did what they thought was best and sent me away to a private school at great expense to them. They were not wealthy. I was expelled from that school for drinking, and I came back and finished my studies in my hometown and continued drinking, and I had a wonderful time. I really did, through lots of years, and married an alcoholic who looked like my father, and that became clear to me after a few years of sobriety, what that was all about. And divorced him because he was an alcoholic, or I merely just liked to have a good time. Had a child by him. Married again later on to a very nice, normal man who didn't drink, smoke, or swear. I divorced him. I was so bored with that type of life. Continued on. This time, I entered in a relationship, and I didn't marry because I realized that if I had three failures, then I'd be wrong. So I lived with him. As luck or God would have it, that worked out well, but I lived with him for a long time, about 10 or 12 years, and I learned later through this program he was passive-aggressive, which isn't very nice. I didn't know what that meant either, because every time I had a problem, I would drink. So every time I went to face reality and wanted to feel centered, I would drink. By the time I was 38 years old, I had to drink. I always drank every day, but I had to drink afternoons and morning and had to take Valium so that I wouldn't shake. But I never considered myself as to have a problem because I was very functional. I could make money. I owned a business. An alcoholic was a person that was on Skid Row and drank out of a paper bag. That's what I thought. Anyway, let's see, around 1978, when the DWI laws came out in New York State, where I'm from originally, I began to drink at home because I did own a large business and it didn't certainly look right to see a woman getting drunk like I used to do. And I certainly, even though I was a very good drunk driver, we all are, I didn't want to get DWI'd because I never knew what it would take me. I was past the point of fun. I was now on maintenance drinking, but I didn't realize that. Anyway, I moved out to Arizona in about 1980. And I continued flying back and forth. I had my business in New York State and would fly back and forth, and I liked it because I got away from the man I was living with. By this time, I really couldn't stand him, but I couldn't leave him because we had built this big business, and I was merely the vice president, which those of you in business know that ain't nothing. And I couldn't see a way out of it, so I was drinking my way through life just so I could stay a little sane, and using Valium so I could sleep. And Valium played a big part in my life with him. I want to share with you just how sick I was, how sick I still am, because I'm not sorry I did it. Living with him, he used to interfere with my drinking. He would mention it, so I hid things. And I found a way after experimenting. You know how clever we are. If you take Valium and you grind it in a blender, and I had an unlimited supply because my doctors in New York just gave it to me just like that. Grind it in a blender, put it in his wine at nighttime, knocks him out, then you don't have to have sex with him, you don't really love him anyway, and it doesn't interfere with your drinking. He's passed out. By the time I left that guy, I left him with a Valium addiction. God, I hope someday I'm sorry for that. Anyway, I left him, and I left alcoholically. I was drunk. I had no money. I had a couple of $1,000 in a checking account and left with two suitcases, and I owned a very expensive horse who ate up that $2,000 in no time. And as luck or God would have it, the horse was injured. I couldn't sell him. So there I was without any money and with a wonderful habit. I never budgeted, so I continued buying my wine by the case and drank it, and was starting to get worried about living, so I found a little defunct restaurant over in a little town in Arizona and opened it up and began to work, as all good alcoholics are usually workaholics too. And I worked about 90 hours a week and drank all those 90, and then went home and felt real sorry for myself. And I bought an answering machine so that I wouldn't have to take phone calls, because I was starting to slur my words badly. And I didn't think it was a problem. I just figured I was pretty tired. Anyway, one day I hadn't eaten in a few days. I've gained about 25 pounds since I'm in this program, so you know I was just about down to nothing. And I couldn't think at all. I just thought if I went into work, I'd be okay. So I went into work, and I had to write a check for a food order that was coming in, and my pen could not stay in my hand, but I still didn't think I had a problem. So I decided to cut up a green pepper. I couldn't do that either. So I called my attorney. I had hired an attorney because I was fighting for my part of the business, which I got later on, ladies and gentlemen. But it didn't help me then. I still didn't have a dime. Anyway, I called my attorney and I said, please, I can't think. Put me in a mental home. I'm having a breakdown. Well, my attorney knew me. We had socialized. And he knew I was a drunk. I didn't know I was a drunk. I certainly didn't think he knew I was a drunk, but he did. And he said, no, Mary, I'm going to send someone over to talk to you. Well, I immediately assumed that he was sending someone over because it was a contingency case and he wanted his 33% if this won. I was wrong. He was a true friend, and he sent me one of you. That was the first miracle, my first day in the program. Now, the guy he sent, I knew. In fact, I had dated him, so I was comfortable with him. And he said, let's go to a meeting. I said, what kind? He said, an AA meeting, and I said, not on your life. So he took me to Camelback Memorial Hospital, which is a detox center in Scottsdale, very exclusive. And they wouldn't take me. I didn't have any money. But I did speak to a psychologist there. Her name is Kit W. She is in the program. And I spoke to her for a very long time. I'm fuzzy on it. And Kit said to me, Mary, you can't stay here. You don't have any money. I want you to pick up the phone and call your doctor, and he's going to help you detox. So she made me call my doctor, and I couldn't say I was an alcoholic. I just said, they say I have a drinking problem. By the way, this doctor is not the doctor that supplied me with Valium. When I left the man I lived with, I was no longer flying back to New York, and I asked the doctor for some Valium, and he said, what do you need it for? I said, well, I just started a new business. I just left that SOB, and I can't sleep. He said, okay. So he gave it to me twice. The third time, he said, Mary, this is the third time in a month you're not getting any more. The stuff is addictive. Little did he know, I had such a Valium habit that I was addicted. He cut me off. I lasted 9 days after that, and then I hit my emotional bottom. Okay, I had to come in. Anyway, I called him, and he detoxed me. He called me every night to make sure I was okay, and because of the Valium, I could not sleep. So I started going to the 7 a.m. meeting at the Alano Club in Scottsdale, and I literally detoxed there. I sweated at night and came into the morning and shook, and those people just loved me, and I didn't understand why. And after about a week, I could look at the things on the wall. I looked at those steps, and I thought, these are a bunch of real Looney Tunes here. They want me to admit that I'm crazy and that God's going to solve everything. But I'll sit here, and I have no place else to go. I'll just keep coming because I can't sleep. And somebody said, get a sponsor. I did. One that I could manipulate, and I did. And somebody said, do 90 by 90 meetings. Well, I did 120 by 90 because I knew I was real sick, but I didn't know how sick. It took the program to really start to straighten me out. I'm not there yet. I have a long way to go, but I'm not worried about it at all. So I began my education in AA, and I'll never forget my 30-day chip. It was very, very exciting. I had not had a drink in 30 days, and that was the first time in some 30-odd years that I did not have a drink, except for a couple of days. I used to jump horses, and I jumped them drunk. And one day I broke a bone, and I thought maybe there was a correlation, so I stopped drinking after my bone had healed. I stopped for 2 days, and that third day I had a headache, and I thought it can't be alcohol, so I went back drinking and jumping horses and crashing and damn near killing myself. Anyway, all that time without a drink, and then 30 days was wonderful. And I began to not crave a drink after a few months. So it was very difficult. I had a high craving, but I had an awful lot of love around me, and I didn't understand much, and you kept saying things like, keep coming back and it'll get better, and I thought, you're all full of shit. But I kept coming back, and some days it did get better. Then I moved on, and I began to see some things that I liked in people, and I believe that was my basic first introduction into feeling spiritual about the program. It didn't stay, but I had that little feeling. And then, now I was about 7 months sober, and I had really worked hard, and I was really tired, and I came home, and I wanted a drink. And about that time, I'm a very slow learner, I realized that I could not drink. I broke a rule. Instead of saying, I can't drink today, I said, I can't drink ever again. If that's all there is, I don't want to keep on dancing. I don't like it. I got extremely depressed. And I decided I'd show everybody. I'd stop going to the 7 a.m. meeting, and boy, would they miss me. So I sat home and brooded and thought about suicide very, very heavily. And one morning at 7, no, quarter to 7, the phone rang, and it was a friend of mine whose husband is a practicing alcoholic today, still alive, and hope that he'll come in one of these times. She called me, and she said, Mary, where is that meeting? I can't find it. I'm circling. I said, oh, your husband's coming in. Great. She said, no, it's me. Now, I used to drink with her all the time, but I got so drunk, I didn't know she was doing the same thing, and I didn't know she had a problem. So in that, I consider this another miracle. In 15 minutes, I was showered, cleaned up, and I met her at the meeting and brought her in. She's still here today. Now, talk about timing. You know that saying in AA, is that odd or is that God? I know now which one it is. And believe me, it's been a painful lesson. Okay, now I moved along, and it was very important for me in my first year to make sure that you liked me. The old timers probably saw right through me, but I thought I had them conned. And I thought everybody liked me, and I got to know all of you, and I got to take your inventory instead of mine. I also broke another rule. Well, no, I didn't break a rule. It just happened. When I gave up my addiction for alcohol, I switched addictions. Sound familiar? Huh? To a man. Yes, Jimmy. Wasn't Jimmy here? Should have been. He's a good guy. And I kept that a secret because he was in the program and I didn't want anyone to know. We're as sick as our deepest secrets. All those crappy cliches, they're all true. Anyway, I had this secret addiction that was getting bigger. It certainly was bigger than God. And I was very busy taking your inventory. And I stayed sober another year that way. And it got to be at my 7 a.m. meeting. I would see a guy go up to the podium and I'd say, I know who he's 13-stepping, and listen to him up there talking about God. I was putting personality over principle. I was breaking the rules left and right, and I thought I was okay. Just that I resented the hell out of you was okay. You were wrong and I was right. That went on for another year. I'd have a few highs, but I had a miserable, hurting sobriety a lot of the time. However, I couldn't let you know that. Eventually, I drank again. I consider it another miracle that I'm here. I made it back. I don't recommend it. If you find yourself taking other people's inventories instead of your own, listen to what I'm saying. It can do you in. The addiction thing, I have to work on. I am well enough now to know I need help in that. So I'm seeking counseling. There are questions there that I can't answer, and God will in his time, but I'm in a hurry. I want to know these answers. Anyway, I did drink, just a matter of circumstances. I set me up. I resented you. I took your inventories. I had a secret addiction that I couldn't admit. My business, I was going to turn over to my brother, who didn't really want to work. But I wanted to control him. So I turned it over to him, and he damn near wrecked it, and I had to take it back. And I was sitting there, and none of my promises were coming true. I was getting into financial insecurity. And then I read Freud. Wait till you hear this. I drank this day. Freud, that lunatic, that cocaine addict, I'm reading him, and he said, we cannot get through life without one of three things. One, listening to others' problems so that their grief will remove ours. Well, gee, that's 12-stepping. That sounds right. Some type of gratification was number two. Knowing Freud, I'm sure it was sex. And three, we cannot get through life without some type of intoxicating substance. Bingo, there it is. I drank. It was very difficult to come back. My sponsor and close friends who loved me in spite of my dislike for them threw me in a detox center. Fortunately, now I had insurance and could afford it. I was very angry. I hated me. I felt I let you down, but mostly I hated me, and I certainly hated being there. The third day there, another thing happened. I read the Sermon on the Mount, and I had an extreme spiritual awakening. And I didn't give that detox center the 28 days and the $16,000 it wanted. I got out, and I got back to my meetings. And I surrendered. And I got real humble. And I began to realize that alcohol was not my problem. If alcohol was my problem, I could go to the John and puke like I used to and be fixed. No, that isn't it for me. My emotions are my problem. Alcohol covered up all my emotions. Alcohol almost killed me because I couldn't deal with reality and I had to drink almost every waking hour. So it killed me damn near and it had to be taken away, and here I am naked having to deal with reality. This, to me, is what alcoholism is all about. After that first 30-day chip and after the first couple of years, it didn't get wonderful, but it got better. And I doubted God again. I said, God, why don't you come down and fix me and give me my wishes? Today I don't ask for his divine intervention. Through my pain, I am still dealing with that addiction from alcohol to a man. I can't get out of it myself, so I am getting professional help. And I now can look back and I know that God is sitting there through my pain teaching me. The only way, you know that old saying of ours? No pain, no gain. God damn it, that's true. Whew! And I'm working through it. I feel better today. I feel close to God. My business is thriving. I'm healthy. I am now starting to find out what I'm all about. It goes all the way back to my childhood. Had I not found this program, I would die. I don't know at what age, but I don't think I had too many years left. A miserable, lonely, always feeling different, strange woman. I'm not miserable anymore. Sure, I'm lonely sometimes. But I don't question that anymore. When I'm ready, when I'm a whole person, not some half-sick person going to cling to another half-sick person and make a whole circle, and whoever leaves me, I'll blow my brains out type of thing. No, when I'm ready, God will take care of me. It's not all fun and roses, but it's so much better. And God, I love to pray and I love to meditate. Today, Jay, rather persuasive fellow, this Jay, he insisted I go up to Painted Horse Point, and I'm sure glad, no, Dead Horse Point, and I'm sure glad he did. I had about an hour of the most beautiful meditation, and I would have liked to have been there with somebody, but not yet. I'm not ready. How I'm getting better is through you people. You loved me in here. You'll help me through my spells. I can talk to any one of you in this room because you all have the same disease I have. It's called alcoholism. It's not alcohol. It just covered up our real pain. You have the same disease I have. I now accept, until I'm better, in the meantime, where I am now, I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying myself and I'm learning. I would not change one bit of the pain that it's taken me to get this far for anything. Not one bit. I'm learning. I'm getting better. I'm grateful God is back in my life. Bigger and better than Technicolor. I can talk to every one of you and have fun. As long as I don't get into me too much. I do that at home alone. I'm real excited about what's going to happen in the future. I don't know it. I can't control it. When I could control, I did. Where'd it get me? Drunk. I don't want to control anymore. I want to be kind of a limited partner and have God as my major domo. That's how it works for me. I'm happy, I'm free, I'm being educated by you people, by counsel, by God. By God, I like that. I like it a lot. And I'm real glad to be here. And those people that are new, when you hear us say, keep coming back, and all those cliches that I've mentioned throughout tonight, they're the things that get me by today when I have a tough day. Those little cliches, whoever made them up was a genius. The big book was put together by geniuses, not literally. There's more mistakes in it than I'd care to mention, and that's what I did in my first 6 months, took apart the literary aspects of the big book. There's more wisdom in there than I'll ever have in my whole life. And I thank you all for asking me up here. It's been a real experience for me. Thank you.